Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Let Mercedes-Benz of White Plains help you find the Mercedes-Benz of your dreams for less than you expect during the Mercedes-Benz winter event going on now. There's a lot of confusion around the National Football League. We're getting late in the season. This is usually where we kind of know where everybody is and how you feel about certain teams. But, boy, a lot of strange things happened yesterday, a lot of strange things. So why not get maybe one of the smartest people that we know on the planet?
I'm here.
To be a part of this show. And he does it every Monday. The Steve Young Report is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, F.W. Webb, and Weil McLean, and also Bigelow Tea. Steve, it's Don and Peter Rakalis today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. And that is a setup if I've ever heard it. Oh, what if I, you know, now I got to be smart. Hold on, let me put my smart hat on.
That's how we feel.
It's all relative to who you're speaking to. I mean, you being the smartest person in the room might not say much for the people that are in the room.
I spent my whole life trying to be the dumbest guy in the room. Maybe that's the secret to success.
No, you definitely know how to handle a room, that's for sure. But handle week 15. All right. The 49ers. I mean, how do you lose at home to the Falcons? You look like you're poised to really battle to be the one seed. This might cost you a home game in the postseason.
So, not that this is new news, but the league has become, and we've talked about the rule changes and the amount of time that coaches can be with players, and it's limited, and so it's more college-like. And we talked about this sliding back to college, and so it's forced two big things that happen in football, you can really say, more than ever. They've always been important, but now more than ever, pass rush and quarterback. And so the 49ers had as good a pass rush as early in the season. They were just mauling people, mauled the Packers 3 or 4 weeks ago, just mauled them, and just into submission. Doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't matter if it's – and all of a sudden, an injury to her here, and now all of a sudden the pass rush isn't what it was, and now you're giving up the game-winning drive to Matt Ryan at home, and that's what that's how it happens. This offense is not – I mean, Deebo Samuel, Coleman, Matt Mostert, guys that you're kind of getting used to hearing, 6 months ago you didn't know. And so there's a lot of guys on this team that are new, and so they're not battle-tested, so you're not going to – they're not going to just be – it takes some time in the NFL still to kind of – and so as much as we think of the 49ers, that pass rush is the secret to success. And if it's not, a 9 or 10 out of 10, there's a lot of things that are going to slide. And that's what happened yesterday. They're not getting the pass rush that they've gotten the previous weeks where they mauled people.
You know, it's interesting. You have such great records at the top of the NFC this year, and yet you look at all these teams, Steve – and it's hard for me to know who you could really believe in my opinion, except Seattle, who I always believe in. But, we're now some question marks around the 49ers. The Packers are 11-3, but I'm never quite sure about them. Who really is the absolute cream of the conference?
Well, who's going to come with that ferocious pass rush that's healthy in January? I'd want to research that. Like, who's going to be healthy? I'm not sure the 49ers are going to get back to full health. I'm not sure that the Saints are going to get back to full health. The Green Bay Packers looked early in the season like that defense was going to be top five, and it's not. And so we have – I think it's more open because I don't know that I trust anyone even with home – it used to be you get home field advantage, huge advantage.
Right.
But, if people can get that defensive pass rush, if all of a sudden the Vikings decide that they're going to be the best pass rush in the playoffs – that's why it's kind of wide open, and I don't want to make it one thing, but I think everybody is competently quarterbacked in that group, and we can make a long list of reasons why one's better than another, or greater, or more playoff opportunity. I get all that. But all are competently quarterbacked, and that's why I kind of fall to this simple yet very specific thing around pass rush, and which one in the end. And Dallas, all of a sudden, if they become the best pass rush in football in January, as crazy as they've been, I'm like, they have the, it seems like they have, and that's what's so weird about Dallas. It's like they have names. where's the results? And we haven't seen it. So it's kind of and it's super wide open. And I'm not sure I trust anybody, even in the home fielded situation. But if somebody gets healthy and gets a ferocious pass rush, I'm all in with those guys.
How about the team you're seeing tonight in the Saints? They take on the Colts. At times can have a vicious pass rush. They've got a championship caliber quarterback, great home field advantage. What about them?
They're hurt at defensive line right now. Yeah. And so they're not – and so, look, when Drew Brees has a defense, even half of a defense, he goes to the Super Bowl. Because they had above-average defense, the year they went to the Super Bowl. Now, you can say last year and the year before, yes, but they had some weird stuff happen. He was going to go to the Super Bowl, but for some weird stuff. But this year, suddenly, this defense is not what it was. And when Drew Brees does not have a defense, there's not enough points out there to be done. And so that's why I worry about the Saints. Earlier in the year, I'm like, that Saint team, nobody's going to beat them. And all of a sudden, you know, 49ers show up with 48 at home. So that's why I'm worried, because he got some injuries, and it really affects the ability to get to the quarterback.
I thought yesterday at MetLife was pretty special, because that doesn't happen in football with Eli, right? That's reserved for basketball, hockey, and baseball, to get your farewell. That just never seems to happen that way in football.
Well, not only that, but football, you know, the really elite teams have a very sharp knife. And you know, you can say that it's been super dull with Eli, right, to his benefit and to really everybody that really loves and I think one of the great human beings that played football. I really think that Eli is just a great human being. So that is wonderful. But it kind of belies the sharp knife that the Giants had for years and years. I should use a different metaphor. The ability to move people as soon as they show any kind of decline, anything, they move on.
Well, instead of using a hammer, they used a pillow, right? I mean,
in some ways, and that's what has defined the Giants now in many ways. And so you get yesterday a wonderful event because of something that makes you maybe not as competitive. Is that a way to say it?
Oh, yeah, because
It was wonderful and very, and especially with all that Eli's done to represent the city in such a classy way, brought success with two big Super Bowls. Like, there's a lot to be. Like, that is great. And there's a lot of, maybe I'm just jealous because the 49ers had such a sharp knife for so long. Could get rid, you know, you just, but it certainly belies the success of the Giants, because I think they've lost the ability to kind of make really tough, hard organizational calls. And that's why they're, in some ways, they're kind of doing this, they're not who they certainly aren't the class of the league as far.
No,
as,
right. If they, for lack of a better phrase, knew what they were doing, he's probably gone at the end of the 2017 season with a couple of years left on his contract, cut like Phil Simms was back in 1994, unceremoniously.
Remember when that happened, and how people, that was, how does Phil Simms feel about yesterday with Eli? He's like, hey, wait a second. I wanted to roll into a couple more years and have a big farewell. That's awesome.
Hey, Steve, at what point do, like, very credible football minds start saying the Patriots' greatness may all be a little bit in question, or there may be an asterisk?
It's hard. I mean, first of all, I think it's important that people understand that what I saw on that tape is people say, well, there's no value there. Now, yes, there's a lot less value than when they used to signal the plays. Well, that was when it was, like, incredibly valued. Then, you know the exact play that's coming. But do not tell me what I saw the Fox put out yesterday with what he was taping, which was the very specifically around player and personnel in and off the field. That's highly probative if you know what you're looking for, because football is highly repetitive. It's too many people, so it has to be highly organized. And so the behavior is very repetitive. And so if you know who's calling for what personnel and how they do it and where they sit and where the two tight ends come together, and then the guy that does the personnel is next to him, you know the next play is two tight ends. So you have a little bit of advanced knowledge. I'm not saying, all I know is that what I saw has probative value, which is why it's illegal to tape it, because it's highly – you can have a guy with binoculars focusing on the sidelines, totally legal, writing down all this behavior – but it's super difficult to do without the video. The video is what makes it so useful. And so I agree, a lot less useful than it used to be. But so someone who knows what they're doing, you still can gain an advantage from taping. That's why it's against the rules. And so we either have to say to ourselves, this highly valuable tape was some foolish, like what they're saying, take them at their word. It was just some goofball guy doing some 8-minute video of what looks to me like, you know, pretty specific stuff showing what an advanced scout would do for 8 minutes, I guess, okay. But it just, it hurts the heart. I saw Teddy Bruschi yesterday talking about how it opens old wounds, and it leaves you left with me on the field after the Super Bowl last year, talking to Bill, talking about this incredible Leonardo da Vinci painting the Sistine Chapel, what he'd just done to the Rams in the most highly, you know, the highest offensive output history in the history of the game, and he put 3 on the Rams. No one could ever imagine that. So I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest feat I've ever seen. And what it does is it allows you to start to say to yourself, am I an idiot? What am I, you know, and that's why I don't, this is why, so this act, either it was a complete buffoonery or it was nefarious, but either way, it opens up this ability to say to yourself, where do I put all this excellence? All this excellence.
I know.
I want to put in an excellent bucket. Now I don't know what to do with it. I hate that. I hate that it makes me, I feel like, you know, I'm bummed out about it.
And yeah.
I don't know, everyone should go watch what Teddy Bruschi said about it yesterday. I thought it was just really enlightening because it's such a bummer.
Of course it is. And it might be unfair, but how does it not have a black cloud over everything we've seen over the last 20 years? I mean, if you're taping a one-win team in Cincinnati, then you're probably doing it to everybody, and they have been able to do something that wasn't supposed to happen in the salary cap era. They were able to build a dynasty, and they've got the greatest quarterback of all time, and they got the greatest head coach of all time, but they've also now been involved in 3 of the 4 biggest scandals in the last 20 years in the NFL. The only one they have been involved in was Bountygate, but when it comes to cheating, whether it's deflating footballs or now a Spygate 2, and you think it's just a coincidence that these things are happening to the one team that seemed to have figured it all out, then how do you extract room, that maybe this is how here. They figured it out?
But even with our room here, we just had a meeting with Adam Schefter and Louis Riddick, and everybody's on, and Randy Moss, and really people have taken them at their word. Like, it's just a big blunder. And like, but my gosh, if it is a blunder, what an amazing
but Steve, a blunder for an organization that never has any blunders, that there is a tight knit and you have everything figured out more than any organization in sports.
It's brutal, Don. It hurts. One of the things that I loved that the Patriots did when it felt like the whole league was headed in a very me, you know, like a me kind of generation, they remember they were introduced as a team. And I remember a tear in my eye when they did that, because it was such an important statement for football, for what the greatness of football and why. And so this is super hard. I got to tell you, this is painful for me. It's not, oh yeah, you did this or you did that. Like, this is painful because of the excellence. I don't want to taint the excellence.
Well,
but it's like,
it already happened.
I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with it.
You know what?
I saw the film that came out yesterday and what they were showing, no one can say to me that it's not probative. That is not true. Human behavior on the sidelines is highly probative, and that's why it's illegal, because you can get an advanced knowledge of what they're doing, who's calling personnel, who's calling blitzes, and you get a sense, you can watch behavior and say, okay, now we know what's coming. So I'm not saying I don't know what happened. It's clear to me. I don't like it, but don't tell me it's not.
Well, what the guys are saying, what the Patriots staff people are saying, oh, don't worry about that. We could just get rid of that. We could delete it right now. And the guy's laughing and saying, sorry, the damage is already done. I don't even see the scout you're trying to film. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, that's our bad. But they're just sitting there filming the sideline. It's so clear. It's so much worse.
Brazen, too.
Now that we've seen it, it's so much worse.
In a Patriot polo, it's really bad.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what I mean. Are you telling me that you show up to do this nefarious act in a Patriot? I mean, that's like the whole thing is lies. The excellence that we've seen, like, it doesn't make, either way you look at it, it kind of belies it. It's like, makes zero sense. That's why, you know, no team, you can make, like, our run in the 80s and 90s, the Packers run, this Pittsburgh's run, you can make, there's nothing like this. And you don't want this, you don't want excellence tainted. You just don't. Even if you don't like the Patriots, you don't want it to be tainted, because it's, excellence is hard to find in the world, and like, you don't want it. You can see I'm super bummed about it. Super bummed about what I saw on the tape yesterday.
So yesterday with Walt Anderson in the Cowboys game, have you ever had a situation like that where the referee misunderstands what the captain's trying to say and almost ends up having a team kick off twice?
No, because usually, you know, you fix it. Like, you know, there wasn't like this one moment in time where you're like, oh, you did that? Well, that's, you're like, oh, no, I meant the other way. I didn't mean that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But when people don't fix it, then I guess it's just a weird, like I said, football's too many people. By definition, it's a madness, and so a lot of stuff, weird stuff can happen.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. I think we'll have you next week, right?
Why not?
All right, perfect. Then we'll wish you a Merry Christmas next week.
Yeah, we'll got you next week.
All right, buddy.
All right, Steve, thanks. Have a good show.
Enjoy it, man.
All right, see you, buddy.
Saints and Colts tonight, ESPN.
Big game for Michael K.
Big game for Michael K. The Steve Young Report is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Pride and passion meet success at Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Visit mbwhiteplains.com. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, driven to perfection since 1968. F.W. Webb and Weil McLean Heating Contractors. Turn to F.W. Webb and top quality equipment and parts. Find out how you can get a free Pure Pro boiler trim kit with every Weil McLean water boiler purchase. Go to fwweb.com/free kit. And Bigelow Tea is a proud sponsor of the Michael K. Show, the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Peter.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Don't say that.
I'm just kidding. So earlier today, Jack Rabbit said he's going to end up on a contender. And I'm like, oh, that's agent talk. Adam Schefter reporting Jack Rabbit has been claimed by the New Orleans Saints. He is on a contender.
There you go. A team that's got an excellent chance to go to the Super Bowl. Still, the Giants did the right thing.
So wait, they have Eli Apple and Jack Rabbit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Enjoy that. All right, I got to give you my two cents on this Patriot thing. And, of course, we've got lots going on with your phone calls. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg on Yes at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.